Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to health care that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
Well, South Carolina fans, Clemson fans this year really don't know what to do. They can't trash talk because their team stinks. While the other one stinks, their team stinks as well.
I did see a meme earlier that said instead of having a game, yes, can they just have a cookout?
It's so funny that you literally just stole the exact thought. We're on the same page there. And I literally was about to bring that up. I think that's a great idea. As long as Lenoris isn't throwing the cookout.
Ah.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
No, I think that's a good idea. Just get together.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Have a little
therapy
session.
Do it at the fairgrounds, right? Just hang out. Be friends. I mean, it's bad. If that game were played today, I don't know who would win, but we're going to find out here in a couple of weeks. Speaking of South Carolina Diesel, Mike Shula. We have been talking about Mike Shula this season quite a bit, but for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And, boy, I thought to myself Saturday night watching that game when I saw Shane Beamer on headset rip Mike Shula a new one, and you could read Shane's lips where he said Mike like twice. He was ripping Mike like Dabo was ripping the players. And I knew then that, boy, this is not going to end well. I did not know if it were going to be Sunday when he got canned diesel, but ultimately it was. South Carolina's play calling, their offense has not gotten any better, and Mike Shula finally, it feels like it's a long time coming, even though it's only his first season. He finally did get canned, and now the Gamecocks, we talked about it just last week. Shane Beamer has the biggest decision that he's ever had to make.
Yeah, Shane Beamer has already fired his offensive line coach. Now he's fired his offensive coordinator. There's usually only one good reason to even talk about the offensive coordinator, which is the season's gone so well, we're probably going to lose him to another team, and he's going to become a head coach somewhere. If you're talking about the OC's name very often, it's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing. Look, I think it was the right move. I said on Twitter, I don't know if it does anything for the near future in terms of like this season with Mike Furry and Sean Elliott calling, you know, the offense now. Will it look a little bit different? Maybe. I don't think it changes this season much, but I do think it was the right move in terms of you have a sensational talent at quarterback that you're not getting the most out of. That's the biggest issue. You don't want to waste Lenora Sellers, and unfortunately, it feels as if South Carolina Mike Shula wasted this 2025 version of Lenora Sellers.
Yeah, one touchdown, two interceptions, 180 yards passing through the air at a QBR of 39.4.
Not good.
On Saturday. I wasn't able to watch the game closely because I was out working in another event. The game was on a TV, so I could kind of keep an eye on it. But obviously you were able to watch it more closely than I was.
I was with a big contingent of Gamecock fans. I was with probably 30 Gamecock fans at a party, Diesel. And look, I was hoping for the best with Mike Shula, but unfortunately, some things just don't work out. You mentioned it. Now add onto the list, Lonnie Teasley being fired, add Mike Shula on top of that. There is, whether it's his decision or not, he says it is. Beamer says it's his decision, but there is a tremendous amount of pressure right now on Shane Beamer and this offense and this staff to figure out how to get this guy, Lenore Sellers, playing at the capability and potential that we all know he's capable of playing at.
So generally speaking, do you like firing OCs in the middle of the season, or would you rather wait until the end of the season because maybe you can keep Lenore Sellers around and say, hey, Lenore, like, give us your input. Who do you like? Whose style do you like? Who should we go after? I don't know if players should have that kind of control and power in a university, especially in a football program, yeah, because Lenore would be gone after next season anyway, so why would you let him essentially hire the OC?
So to answer your question, I don't think it changes things tremendously this season, but I do believe, as a fan, I want my coach to do what it takes to win next game, next week. As a fan, I don't care that the season's a wash. And that's why I'm so ticked off with so many of these Clemson fans. I don't care. They're still getting paid to coach. These players are still getting paid to play. I want to go, if I'm a Gamecock fan, I want to go beat A&M. I don't care that we've only won three games. And if that takes firing Mike Shula, then so be it. Fire him. Let's go win. Let's go beat A&M. Let's go beat Coastal. Let's go beat Clemson. I don't want to be this type of fan that says, oh, well, the season's a wash. I'm good with it. We'll worry about it in the offseason. No, heck with that. Let's go win. You're supposed to win, right?
The goal should be win the rest of the regular season.
Let's go to the phone lines.
Win 2 out of 3.
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off. 844-FAN-PHONE, 844-326-3663. What's up, Kevin?
What's up, Cole? How are you, sir?
Good, man. Hope you are.
Real quick, Mike Shula's ass should have been fired week 3, period. But he should have never been hired after the performance in the bowl game. You could physically see in our bowl game that Lenoris was handcuffed. None of his creativity was there. Lenoris is not he wasn't a very accurate thrower of the football last season either, but he was creative. He could run when he needed to run. He could make better passes on the run, and Shula's trying to turn him into a pocket passer. So he needs to be gone. He should have been gone. Doing it now is the best time, I guess, to do it. So you got 2 weeks to prepare, but I don't understand. If Beamer doesn't get it right this time,
he's done.
He's done. Yeah. If they would have kept, if he would not have fired Shula, if he was coached at any other SEC school, he would have been fired already.
Sure.
If he coached at Florida or LSU or Auburn, he would have been fired a couple of weeks ago. But we can still talk crap to the Clemson fans like you, because we at least are losing to, you know, top 10
teams.
Football teams.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. You're right. And I'm going to call it like I see it. I'm with you. Thanks for the call, Kevin. I will say this to his point about the bowl game. I think I was wrong in my analysis, and I'm always willing to admit I was wrong on something, Diesel. I am willing to admit that I believe I was wrong after the bowl game, because you and I on these airwaves talked about it. It wasn't good, the bowl game, the play calling. But I said and believed it's one game. It's one game against Illinois. Shula just came in, didn't have 2 weeks to prepare.
Still learning their names.
Still learning their names and still wearing the "Hi, my name is" name tags. So, like, after the bowl game, I believed, oh, let's give Mike Shula the benefit of the doubt. Now, there were a lot of fans like Kevin who said, what the heck was that? We just beat Clemson, and that's the performance we put on the field and on tape against Brett Bielema. So now I'm willing to look back and say, okay, I might have been wrong. Mike Shula against Illinois might have been horrendous. Maybe that should have been. Then what do? Do you fire a guy after one game? Do you, hey, Mike, appreciate you. It was good working with you for 6 seconds. You're fired because of what you did in the bowl game. I think it's a tremendously tough spot for Beamer last year after that bowl game, and Texter brings up the point that Shula was there all year as an analyst. An analyst isn't an offensive coordinator. It's just not. So, yes, is there validity with that? the performance in the bowl game, I think there is diesel because it wasn't good. We talked about it right after the bowl game, and I was willing to give the guy the benefit of the doubt.
Well, you got to try, right? You have to try and shake things up. Maybe you find somebody on your staff who has a talent for something, a coach who's up and coming and rising. It would be a coordinator for you or somewhere else if you didn't hire him. You never know what you might find that you already have on staff that you didn't realize was already great. Or, you know, you just never know. But, you know, Florida, they were running last week against Georgia this on Saturday with a brand new OC, and they almost beat Georgia. They almost took down Georgia. And that was a wild football game, a really well-played game, a really well-called game for Florida with Ryan O'Hara in his first game as a play caller. But you never know if you got your Ryan O'Hara on staff.
You don't. I don't believe they do. I don't believe the next offensive coordinator is on staff. We talked about it just last week that if you're Shane Beamer, Diesel, and Kevin said it, he's right. We talked about it last week that this hire in this offseason is Shane could be Shane Beamer's final hire.
I think it should be.
Well, if it goes wrong.
Okay, you're right.
If it goes wrong, right? If it goes wrong, I'm with you. I think if you don't get it right now, I will say this, give him a blank check. Jeremiah Donati, whoever else is involved, if you want to win at the high level, if you're going to put pressure on Beamer, give him a blank check and let him go get the best coordinator he can get that money can buy. Mm. Go get the best. I don't care that you're South Carolina. Coordinators don't care about they you going to pay me that? Yeah, you bet. You dang right I'll come to Columbia.
Well, and here's the hard part. Even if you do go get a really good coordinator, you better hope that he goes out there and wins 11 games for you and gets hired somewhere else. It's a bad problem to have, or a good problem to have, that you're having to hire then another coordinator after that.
Great problem.
But when Shane Beamer has not shown the propensity of hiring good coordinators so far on the offensive side of the ball, you may say, okay, we had one good year with a good coordinator, and then we're back to square one with a chump after that.
And I'm willing to cross that bridge when we get there.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because Dabo Swinney did it with Clemson and Brent Venables
You'd rather have one great year than get fired.
How many years did we sit here and say, how in the world has Dabo Swinney held on to Brent Venables this long? We talked about that forever, Diesel. It was every week. How is Venable still? I mean, they were winning another championship. They won another championship, another ACC championship, another conference championship. How he's been able to hold on to Brent to what I just said, let's cross that. If you're telling me we have to cross that bridge, I'm loving life because that means we're winning, right?
I'm thinking here, when was Sam Pittman at Arkansas fired? That was around week 5, right? Something like that. Are we talking about now the possibility that week 5 of next season, if this OC hire doesn't come out of the gate firing on all cylinders, Shane Beamer's fired by week 5 or 6?
Well, I think you want to
stretch.
It's not a stretch. I think it's unlikely. I'm not saying you have to go out there and go 11 and whatever. I'm just saying put a competent offense out there and make Lenora Sellers good at what Lenora Sellers does. Mike Shula might be a really good coordinator somewhere else with a different quarterback. Who knows? And this is going to sound crazy. Mike Shula might have been better with Cutter Woods than Lenora Sellers. I know that sounds wild, but I'm just saying the style in which Mike Shula comes from, that might be a Cutter Woods isn't the quarterback yet. You've got, again, how many times do we have this conversation? As a coach, Diesel, the best coaches always can do what? They come in and they say, here's what I have. Let me see what we have.
They adapt.
Oh, exactly. I'm going to do what fits them best, not this is what I do. I'm going to try to make this player fit what I do.
I mean, I get, though, with Lenoris's body size, he thought maybe I could turn him into a tree, a pocket-style passer, somebody that's not going to go get hurt and get knocked out of the season halfway through. So maybe he wanted to, in the interest of protecting Lenora Sellers a little bit more, wanted to kind of change the way he calls plays for him. Then obviously it didn't work, right? It was a bust. And it took him all the way until, you know, the Alabama game before he finally figured out, oh, we need to get this guy out in space. We need to let him go out there and create. That's what he is best at. But that also is what was when Mike Shula is out of his depth.
And you've got to let the talent be the talent. I remember kind of going back to your point just there for a second. I remember last year, Diesel, when South Carolina played Old Dominion to start the year. You remember it was 23-19, right? I was there. It was a close game. South Carolina barely beat Old Dominion in the opener. Lenora Sellers that night ran the ball 22 times. And all Carolina fans said that whole weekend, all Carolina fans said was, oh, gosh, I hope that Dowell Loggins don't keep running Lenoris like that. I hope he don't run it 22 times because guess what? We'll run him in the ground. And then you get Mike Shula, to your point, who wants to make him more of a pocket passer, and it's, well, you need to let Lenoris run more. Well, right. He did. He ran 22 times. A quarterback running 22 times against the opener. By the way, only two fewer rushing attempts than the running back had that night in Rocket Sanders. You're talking about an offense that just hit lows this year, Diesel. Scoring under Mike Shula, 19.7 points per game, 16th in the SEC, 119th nationally. Total offense, 294.1 yards per game, 16th in the SEC, 131st nationally. Rushing, 100 yards per game, 16th in the SEC, 128th nationally, and passing per game. Oh, you're going to make Lenoris a pocket passer. 193 yards per game, 15th in the SEC,
well,
104th nationally.
Here's what's mildly interesting about that stat is that they have 1,740 passing yards on the season. Their opponents have 1,715. So
they have more.
They're actually picking up more passing yardage than their opponents are. That's just a really interesting little stat. As we're saying, like, man, Lenoris can't complete a pass. He can't have time to get passing to get players open, and they somehow are outpassing their opponents.
And here's the thing I'll say real quick, relating back to Clemson. I am surprised that more Clemson fans don't feel the same way I feel. What am I talking about? Shane Beamer's fired two guys this year, Lonnie Teasley and Mike Shula. I answered your question about 10 minutes ago about firing an OC during the middle of the season. I'm surprised more fans, Clemson fans, aren't saying, Dabo, we want to win this year. Do what it takes to win this year. If that means get rid of people, get rid of them. Shane Beamer's fired Teasley and Shula. As I said to answer your question, if I'm a fan, do I love firing guys midseason? No, but guess what, Diesel? I don't care that we have three wins. I want to beat A&M next Saturday.
Well, who's coaching the secondary at Clemson? If it's not Tom Allen's responsibility, if there's a specific secondaries coach, fire him. Get him out of there. The DBs, the safeties, they can't stop anybody.
Why do you wait till the end of the season if you're Clemson? Again, if the season's a wash, we'll go.
Dabo hadn't had enough time to pray on it.
I don't know. Again, you can. I know you're.
I'm joking.
I know, but it comes down to how bad do you want to win? How bad do you want to win? Well, do you want to win bad enough to win at all costs? We'll do it right now.
Well, and that to me is a coach who still knows he's not under any kind of pressure. Who knows that he doesn't have to fire? I believe in my guys, meaning I don't have to make a decision on this right away. I might make a decision at the end of the year, and that's fine. Do it then, but, I mean, you still got a couple games left that you can win, and it doesn't seem like you're gonna
do
it the way that you're doing it. When we come back, let's get back into the Clemson conversation. We'll talk to Grayson Mann of TigerNet. That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief, yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Well, the Clemson Tigers take a heartbreaking one-point home loss against Duke on Saturday. And then our next guest's NFL team gets a one-point win on Sunday. So the weekend, kind of a wash for Grayson Mann of TigerNet. Thanks for joining the show, as you do every single Monday. Grayson, where did that post-game press conference Saturday kind of rank as far as how tense it was in all the other press conferences you've been in with Dabo Swinney at the helm?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I rate it as incredibly awkward. It's like when you get on that first date and you have nothing to talk about, so you have to kind of just wait for the check to arrive. And so when Neff kind of showed up in the background, I turned around and I went, that's kind of peculiar. That's pretty interesting. And then Swinney makes the joke about, well, if Graham Neff fired me today, I wouldn't blame him. And you're like, oh, okay. This is new. But Sunday, I would put Swinney was pretty fired up, talking about how everything in this program needs to be fixed, took accountability, and now here we sit with Clemson at 3-5. And again, Sunday reiterating that it was a joke, but I think all jokes have some truth to them.
Grayson, how do you balance what Dabo said about, you mentioned yesterday on the teleconference, about the program having so many issues to fix, but just a month ago, Dabo Swinney told us that the program was in a better place than it's ever been. How can both be true?
I think both can probably be true just because of the optimism that he's always going to bring to the table. But at that point, there was still some hope, Cole. I think probably from his standpoint, the team's 1-3. They have a chance to maybe climb back and finish 8-4, 9-3, even if some crazy things were to happen. This feels a little bit different. This feels rock bottom, in the sense that this team's invented new ways to lose, whether it's you put up 45 points and you lose by one. I think the program was 134-0 up until Saturday. And you have that loss now. On that streak has been broken as of Saturday afternoon. So it's been a really jarring season. I think personally for him, probably didn't expect this and certainly didn't expect 3-5. He's on track to have his first losing season since 2010. And so, sure, he can say there's a lot of great things infrastructurally about the program where money's flowing in, facilities are great, but the product they're putting out, it's not very good, and it continues to get worse.
At Gray_man21 on Twitter is where you can find Grayson and give him a follow. Grayson, I sent you the video from ACC and their feed where Dabo calls his defensive secondary busts and says, you've done what? Now, nobody else seems to think this is a very big deal. A lot of people are just saying, oh, it's just Dabo coaching the team up. And to me, for a guy that's built his program around faith and family, that to me seems antithetical to how he built his program, but it's neither here nor there. What did you make of that? And is there any plan to ask Dabo what exactly he meant by calling his players busts?
Yeah, and I think the term bust was used more for coverage busts. That's just my opinion there. Now, he could be well calling them busts, which is, I think, frankly true at this point, given a lot of those players. And Sweeney was asked about this last night, clarified, said he was ripping the entire defense along with the defensive staff, and that was after the touchdown that Mensa threw to tie it back up at 28, said that everybody needed to be held accountable. And there were a lot of coverage busts, not just on that specific play, but entirely. So a lot certainly going around. He could be calling them busts, but I thought it was more about the coverage and just the amount of whiffs that Clemson had on Saturday. It is not hard to attack this defense, and that's a massive problem, and that's going to continue to compound on itself as we get closer to a team in Louisville that's pretty good. South Carolina, I know they're struggling. Lenore Sellers had a pretty decent time in Clemson last year, and Florida State and Castellanos look like they've found their groove slightly after annihilating Wake Forest. Clemson's entering this game this weekend with virtually no pulse. I felt like Saturday's game, not to continue to ramble, but I felt like Saturday's game was make or break the way it was going. It was either going to galvanize November or we were heading for a pretty dark territory, and I think we're at the latter at this point.
Grayson, how do you explain Clemson in 2025 being so uncomplimentary?
Yeah, that's a loaded question, Cole. It's how much time do we have on this segment?
Much as you want.
It's fascinating. I had said earlier they'd found new ways to lose, and you've had games where the defense looks competent, and that LSU game, great example. Defense is able to shut LSU down to 17 points. Most times, that's a win. Offense only produces 10. Then your offense has its best game of the season on Saturday. Klubnik, career high in passing yards, looks incredibly comfortable after the ankle injury, and his defense can't really stop anything. It couldn't get off the field on fourth down. I believe Duke was perfect on the afternoon, and just a lot of execution and coaching. I think those are the two words that come to mind when they seemingly haven't played that perfect game. And even against Troy, a team that was considered their get-back game, you had a mess that you had to overcome. So Clemson hasn't played up to this point. Maybe you could say North Carolina, but a 3-5 North Carolina team that wasn't really discovering itself quite yet, I don't think that's maybe the hill you die on if you're a Clemson fan.
Grayson, let's talk about this $10,000 fine. Not really something that Dabo's had to deal with a lot in his tenure there. Most of the time, he's all smiles, but at the risk of quoting the song, where does that $10,000 come from and where does it go? And will Dabo have to pay it himself, docked out of his actual paycheck? Can a donor step in and pay that $10,000 for him?
You know, I'm not sure because I don't think I've ever had a situation where Sweeney's been fined and I'm sure either he pays for it or maybe the university covers it. That one I'm not entirely sure on the logistics of the fine. I do think that we were all expecting a fine. I thought 10,000 was pretty low, but I don't know what the ACC can allocate for certain things. But Sweeney certainly had his words on Saturday for the officiating. Certain angles reveal certain things, and I think that the officials were correct in calling a penalty on Clemson, but I think it was more defensive holding at the line of scrimmage because it just got to hand fighting at the end zone. But I think Terrell did hold before the pass was thrown. So if you call a 5-yard penalty first down, sure. Pass interference at the 2, probably don't agree with that just from my standpoint. But overall, Sweeney certainly had a right to be mad. It's the emotions of a close game. You feel like that's one of your few opportunities left on the schedule to get a win. And from Sweeney's viewpoint, he was robbed of that. So certainly he was pretty aggressive in his post-game presser.
Grace, I want to ask you about some articles that have been written, one from TigerNet, one from the Clemson Insider. I talked about these articles earlier in the show today when it comes to change. And again, I don't know what change is coming. I know that there have been rumors about what change is coming and some talks behind the scenes, but can you help me understand what these articles, not trying to put anybody on blast here, but what are these articles actually telling us in terms of things we don't already know?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of standard procedure at this point, is that you're kind of just at this. There's been a lot of rumblings for the last several weeks that changes were coming. It's my understanding that there are in the offseason. To what degree, I don't think anybody's entirely sure. So I think in some cases, those are just column pieces where you're getting, that's just the opinion of the writer. Specifically with David's article on TigerNet, it's more of just the same of, yeah, sure, there are changes. And you kind of say that at the beginning of, okay, maybe a position coach here or there. I think we're talking more program-wide. And so there's not just one quick fix that can be made. I think massive, massive overhauls need to be made after in the weeks following, whether that's the South Carolina game, in between that or the bowl game, should Clemson find a way to be bowl eligible. So it's just this continuing snowball effect of reiterating the same points. So I think it is what it is at this point. It's my understanding, again, that changes are coming. To what degree? Not entirely sure. But certainly I think there's going to be some news that fans have been clamoring for, and I never want to call for anybody's job, but certainly there has to be something that is fixed this offseason.
So a follow-up to that, Grayson, in your mind, you just said you answered half of the question. You don't know what changes are coming, but in your mind, what changes do you believe should come this offseason? Not calling for jobs, but just, you know, being blunt about what hasn't gone right this season.
Yeah, I think staff changes certainly on the offensive and defensive side are going to be made. They should be made. And so there's been just a lot of, when you talk about a team that had so much retention in terms of talent, and we were sitting here in August talking about how, oh man, this is quite the offseason, quite the way Dabo built it. Nobody really developed. Cade Klubnik, Heisman Trophy favorite. Certainly you could say the word regression. Running back room that hasn't had much luster outside, maybe Adam Randall, getting Davidson finally played on Saturday, forcing maybe the hand of CJ Spiller. And so there's just a lot of extra noise right now, Cole, that I think when you look at kind of the overall nucleus of the staff, it wouldn't shock me if 80 to 95% of that is wiped. Hmm.
So you brought him up there, Cade Klubnik. He on one leg out there, you could see at certain points he was visibly hobbled, but he still went out and had a 2-touchdown day, 380-some-odd yards, I think, passing in that game. Just a monster day for somebody that's basically out there on one leg. He was emotional in his post-game availability. It's got to be hard for a player like that to, you know, keep the chin up when you did everything you can to win and your defense completely let you down. I don't know how much access you get to players during the week, but how would you expect Cade to react to that locker room and still be a leader, you know, going into this next week's game?
Yeah, it's incredibly tough. And it kind of harps back to what I said earlier, is these players, I think, understand how dire things are right now. And that was one of those wins that truly slipped away. That's not a 37-13 loss that you just got your butt kicked on Saturday. They were in that, and they had multiple chances to win. And I don't think anyone's sitting at two and Klubnik and going, you lost us this game. I think he played his ass off, to be frank with you guys. And so that was one of the games that he's like, man, you got a lot from your quarterback. You got a lot from this offense. And watching the game again, that just kind of confirmed it to me. I thought he played a great game, and he was let down. He was very emotional Saturday in that press room. And that's got to be tough to carry on your shoulders. He's carried a lot this year, certainly shoulders a lot of the blame, rightfully so. So in a game like that where you really put it all out there, you have to sit out a week and kind of watch your team lose again. I can't imagine it's really been a tough few weeks for him. And so the rest of the year, it'll be interesting to talk to him on Wednesday and kind of see where he's at mentally. That'll be a great question, certainly, to field his way as Clemson reaches the home stretch of his career. Here with the Tigers.
Grayson Mann, TigerNet.com, joining us on the Fan Upstate. Grayson, do you have any inclination as to why Dabo hasn't made any in-season firings?
Just not a style. I think that they're going to just, I think privately, I'm sure conversations have been had, but I don't believe it's Sweeney style to make these mid-season staff changes. I kind of mess up the mojo of whatever you're trying to build the rest of the way. So whatever mojo is existing, probably is the wrong choice of words there, but it's just not his style for a midseason change. I think they will be made in the offseason. Now, if Clemson, let's put the hypothetical train out there, let's say Clemson's 5-7. They finish the season. They're not making a bowl game. It wouldn't shock me if Sunday morning we're looking and, okay, things are on the move. Mm. And that, whether that's the portal or the staff.
Grayson, you know, I was a little struck when Dabo was talking about the defensive pass interference or the OPI or what the call should have been. And then he kind of started kind of looking around saying, hey, what did you think? What did you think? What did you think? To me, that felt like one of those classic Dabo Sweeney waiting for somebody to tee up for him to say what it is he wanted to say. And nobody really gave him exactly what he was looking for to be able to tee off. But how awkward was that? And did he make eye contact directly with you? I was trying to pull voices. Like, is any one of those Grayson? But, you know, what was he wanting to be able to say there?
I think he was looking for someone to agree with him. And when you get Dabo conversational with us, either things are going really well or things are going really poorly. Because in the July, he was comfortable. He was smiling up there telling stories. And now it's finding somebody to kind of validate what he believed he saw on the field from a different angle. And he got that from our colleague Facts and Childress at the Aurora. Said it was a bad call. And I agree with that to an extent. I think it was holding. But I don't think pass interference at the 2, which virtually set up Duke for a walk-in touchdown. Sure, right to be mad? Of course. It's an emotional game. And you're already kind of frustrated with your defense enough. And it's just an extra straw that is going to break this camel's back that is this 2025 season.
Grayson, on the Hub City Spartanburgers text line, texter says, question for Grayson, hypothetically, if Clemson parts ways with Garrett Riley, who would be the best fit as the next OC? This comes from RJ.
It's a great question. There's some good ones. I would love to see. Now, this my answer is kind of twofold, because I think Clemson's best strategy is to copy what Oklahoma did in the portal. And you find your quarterback with your OC. Is that Drew Mestemaker at Texas or North Texas? Is that another quarterback? Maybe it's Tulane, what John Summerall's staff is doing. That's certainly worth watching for. Arizona State and Kenny Dillingham, what they've been doing for the last 2 years has been pretty impressive. Lost Sam Levitt, so you can't take too much of what November is accounted for the Sun Devils. But there's some interesting names out there that I think are going to be considered. Duke's OC is doing a phenomenal job. Does he see it being a move up to maybe try to resurrect Clemson? You have to kind of look at it differently now with this program. Who's going to be the leading man? Who's going to be the staff? A lot of questions. And so I think that changes depending on who the candidates are.
Grayson, maybe I should have led with this question right out of the gate, but since it seems like the football season is basically over, how does the basketball team look?
A lot of potential. Very exciting. It's an interesting group. I think that there's going to be some growing pains, but I do believe they have a really nice nucleus, to be frank with you. And two freshmen, Zach Foster and Chase Thompson, call my shot here now, guys. I think they're going to be two of the best players to play in this program. Those kids have it. You listen to the way Brad Brownell speaks about them, and he'll be honest with you. He says they're way ahead of schedule. I think fans should be really excited about not just this year, but what Brownell continues to build over there in Little John. They're building a small power. It's pretty fascinating to watch.
Grayson, I was going to get to this, and it was brought up on the stream. Tom Allen, first year, defense hadn't been good, just to call it like it is.
Yeah.
Does Tom Allen, like, is that a real possibility in terms of Dabo firing a guy he just hired?
Nah, he's staying. That's if you want to talk about staff changes, he's a lock to stay.
Okay, why?
I think that there's going to be an opportunity for Allen to make some decisions and bring in his players.
Gotcha.
And you talk, there was a revealing comment or press conference that he had where he was talking about basically the speed of this team. And we can't run certain coverages. We can't run certain assignments because of the trust in the secondary or with various players. It was revealing. And one of the things that I took away from it was he wants players who love football and are willing to, it was sort of the, I want the guys who love the game. Now, I don't know if he's taking shots at anybody. I have no information that would clarify that, but I think it's interesting when that's his first thing that he brings up about what kind of player does he want. It's not the intangibles, it's the love of the game. How fascinating is that?
Grayson, three games left against power opponents, plus Furman as well down the stretch here. What would be, if we were starting over from day number one right now, four games left, what is success and leading into next season with some positivity look like for this team?
Oh, man. So you're asking basically if we were to just kind of encapsulate these four games as its own season, how would I kind of judge success? 2-2, I would say, just based on how things have gone. Or maybe 3-1. I think that success at this point is making a bowl game. But with the way this season's gone and the expectations that you entered it with, I think it's kind of a lose-lose regardless of how this thing goes. 6-6 is going from odds-on favorite to be in the national championship to scratching and clawing to make a bowl game. You're last year's FSU, and that's not a good thing.
Grayson, when you look at what the other team in the state is doing, they are obviously struggling as well. South Carolina just fired Mike Shula over the weekend. We've asked this question several times, maybe of you, but we've had a lot of fun with it. And I'll ask you again on this third day of November. If Clemson and South Carolina played tonight, who would win?
Picked South Carolina.
Really? Even after that offensive explosion?
I think that they'd be able to figure it out against Clemson's defense right now. And I think Sellers has already proven he can make big plays, and that was last year. I think that also they're going to be home, which will play a factor. It's a very easy choice in my mind.
Wow.
So, Grayson, again, there may be a little facetiousness in the way I ask this question, but who is who is the best football team in the state right now?
The Blue Hose, baby.
Yes, that's a good answer.
I was hoping that's what you were going to say.
That's a good answer.
You lobbed that up to me, and I slammed it, right?
You did.
Did I take care of it for you?
That's a good answer. They're impressive, Grayson. So are you. You're the best. As always, appreciate your time and analysis. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Grayson. TigerNet.com. If you missed any of that, you can go back on the Odyssey app where you have the chapters feature and you can listen to that entire interview there. Also on the iHeartRadio app, make sure you set the Fan Upstate as your number one preset on that app as well. I did like the point that Donnie brought up on the stream about Tom Allen after I asked this question. He says, I hate his players' argument. He should adjust to what he has until he gets what he wants. I don't think that's a terrible point. I think there is some validity with that, Diesel, with that being said.
I mean, yeah, we brought that point up with Mike Shula as
That's right.
Having to adjust to what Lenora Sellers does well and to adjust to what, you know, Oscar Attaway and Rachel Faison all do well. But, it's hard, I guess, if you're a coach that has come in with tremendous success that he had at Penn State last year to be like, yeah, I'm going to scrap what I did at Penn State and start over fresh with something new.
Tolo's Your Overreactions, 15 minutes from right now. Go ahead and start marinating of what your best overreaction is. We'll open the phone lines up, but let's dive into what the first round of the high school football playoffs look like. The postseason is here, and man, what an exciting time. Some good matchups in round one, and unfortunately, some seasons coming to an end. We'll dive into the first round matchups next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Jersey Joe is already sounding off diesel on the stream. Let's see here.
That's just talking in Jersey.
Well, that's true, too. This is a mouthful. Let's see what Jersey Joe says when it comes to high school football. Don't even get me started with the high school playoffs. Number one, there are way too many teams in each classification. Number two, how does a team with 3, 4, or even 5 wins make the playoffs? Should a minimum of 6 wins to qualify for the playoffs, and then you take the top 8? Ridiculous if you ask me, but what do I know? And with that being said, we look at the first round matchups of the high school playoffs, Diesel, that do involve a lot of underperforming football teams. Let me put it that way. Well, unfortunately.
To Joe's point there, I completely agree. I completely agree. Teams with sub 500 records should not be making the playoffs.
Yeah.
If that means at different classifications you only have a 4-team playoff or an 8-team playoff, fine. Go for it. What do we hear from Lou Bezjak of the state newspaper and all the different people that we talk to about high school football? That for a lot of parents, travel is a problem. It's an issue. It's financially burdensome. You know how you help alleviate some of that burden? You cut some of the games so you don't have to travel and go on the road all the time for multiple weeks through the playoffs. If we don't have enough teams to have a 16-team playoff at each division, at each classification that have plus 500 records, then you need to shorten the playoffs down to 8 teams.
So here are the first round matchups of the teams in our coverage area. And yes, some of them are bad teams. They won't be playing next week. There might be an upset. I'm not saying there won't be an upset, but I don't think there will be many. I hadn't picked many. You've got Bowling Springs Malden on Friday, a rematch. J.O. Man Spartanburg, Eastside Gaffney, first round Diesel, also a rematch. Nation Ford Greenville, Riverside Hillcrest. That's the game that I am going to this Friday with Burns being off. I'm going to watch Riverside and Hillcrest. You have Emerald Fountain Inn, Lancaster Seneca, Dreer at Daniel, Greer at Camden, Pickens at Westside, Blue Ridge at Wren, Carolina at Powdersville, Pendleton at Broome, Union County, a 1-win team, at Crescent, St. Joseph's at Mountain View Prep. By the way, I think that game's going to be played at St. Joe's Diesel because Mountain View don't have a home stadium. That's at least the word I've gotten as of late. West Oak at Woodruff, Wahala at Christ Church, Palmetto at BHP, Chapman, another 1-win team, at Southside Christian, North Central at Clinton, Chesney at Fairfield Central, Blacksburg at Chester, and Great Falls at Abbeville. A reminder, Burns is off Friday. Diesel in 5A, there are 4 teams in each classification, or each division, rather, that have byes, and Burns is one of those teams. The second round will have some really good matchups, but I don't know. We might have some lopsided affairs from what I'm seeing here in the first round.
Yeah, I don't like a team that just had a good season having to play a 1-win team, because what if you get somebody injured and you lose somebody in that game that is not going to be available for a better matchup the following week? Tell me about you said a couple of those were rematches, especially you said that the Malden versus Boiling Springs game was a rematch. I don't know if there were others. How did those games go the first time around?
Malden beat Bowling Springs the first time. If I can, I'm going to sneak over to that game. So I'm going to Riverside Hillcrest. Hillcrest and Malden aren't too far apart.
Yeah.
Depending on Diesel, if one of the two are lopsided or not, I would like to be able to sneak over to maybe the other one at halftime. But Bowling Springs Malden is a rematch. And I just saw Bowling Springs on Friday. Burns played Bowling Springs, and it was lopsided. But Bowling Springs lost to Malden back early in the year. Malden's a team that's playing good football, and I know the old saying, it's hard to beat a team twice, but as of right now, man, my early lean is Malden. I just think they're playing better football right now. And then the other one you mentioned, Eastside Gaffney, it's also a rematch. Gaffney won the first time by 5 points. It was a close game, 40-35. Eastside's a good team. I don't think it'll be as close this time. I think Gaffney probably pulls it out. Again, the saying is true, it's hard to beat a team twice, but these will sometimes, the better team is the better team. You know, sometimes you just, you are what you are. So I think those two rematches could be interesting. I'm excited about Riverside Hillcrest, Jackson Free versus Gideon Marib. I think that could be a lot of fun to watch. Two really good quarterbacks. And then, like I said, the teams that are on byes next week, I think we'll have some really good matchups in the second round of the playoffs.
Well, Cole, we're not done talking high school football today. Coming up in the 5:45 segment, we're going to get into a juicy story that the Dutch Fork head coach Tom Knotts believes somebody from Irmo broke into their Huddle account and was watching their practices, figuring out things they were going to do. That's a wild story. I can't wait to get into that in just about an hour on the show. But coming up next, Tolos, it is your opportunity to sound off. We've had a lot of text messages today, and that's great, but we want phone calls. 844-326-3663. What do you have to overreact about from the past weekend in sports? Call us up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. SimpliSafe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.